16. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. Now, last week we began a series about the miraculous, and we were looking at miracles of deliverance and how through Jesus Christ we have power over all the power of the enemy. That as a child of God, you do not need to live in fear of the enemy, but you live in victory over the enemy because of what Jesus has already done for us. Now today we're going to look at another type of miracle. Mark chapter 16 verse 17 to 18. This is one of the examples of the Great Commission in the Scripture. And here's what it tells us. Read with me. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Our subject today is the last portion of verse number 18. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now I want you, before we pray, I want you to notice that in verse 17 he begins that these signs shall follow them that believe. Not those that are pastors, those that are ministers, those that are evangelists. But he said these signs shall follow them that believe. So our series is entitled, and it's kind of a sarcastic statement that people make when they think that something is impossible. They often will say, "That will happen when pigs fly." So our series is entitled, "When Pigs Fly." Because God can do things that seem to us to be impossible. And today we're going to be looking at miracles of healing. Miracles of healing. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, I thank you for the challenge that you give us, the challenge to our faith to dare to believe you for bigger things than what's normal. Lord, and I pray that you'll help me today to challenge all of us, myself included, Lord, to have faith, to believe you for things that go way beyond what's normal and natural, to dare to believe you for the miraculous, the unexplainable. And Lord, I pray that you'll enable me to communicate that, and Lord, just let your Spirit speak into our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And last week's message is available on our website if you want to stream it or download it. Last week I was talking about miracles of deliverance or God's miraculous power over all the power of the enemy and the forces of darkness. We're looking at different types of miracles. We're going to look at four different areas that God works in the miraculous. A miracle is when God intervenes here on earth. It's when God, who created the laws of nature and the way that things are, chooses to either supersede, to override, or suspend natural laws. For instance, when Jesus walked on the water, natural laws said that if you try to walk on water that is not frozen, you are going to sink. But Jesus either suspended or superseded the law of nature to be able to walk on the water. So a miracle is when God chooses to suspend or supersede the laws of nature, the way that natural things are. As you go through the Gospels, the miracles of Jesus are not just random. But as Jesus does miracles, he uses them to exhibit his power. His power over nature, as he would calm the stormy sea or walk on water. his power over death, as he would call Lazarus out of the grave, or he would heal or resurrect the widow's son. He spoke words of healing that demonstrated his power over sickness and disease. He also demonstrated power of provision. Each one was to exhibit his power over one of the enemies or the adversaries that you will face in life. It's a reminder to us that God is of ultimate power. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And when you pray, when you ask God, when you bring God into your situation, you bring the one who has all power into where you are. From last week, there was a statement that I made and repeated, and I want to make this same statement today, and I'm going to be repeating it during this message so that you'll remember it. And that is simply this. When we go through life, whether it's power for deliverance or power for healing, this is really important. We do what we can, and we ask God to do what He alone can. We do what we can, and we ask God to do what He alone can. Remember that. It's extremely important. Because there are two extremes there. Last week I talked about the two extremes when it comes to Satan and demonic forces. One is denying that they exist. The other one is seeing Satan under every rock, every sneeze. When it comes to the miraculous and when it comes to healing, there are sometimes two extremes that people fall into. They say, "I'm not going to take advantage of anything that natural medicine or that medicine or that human means can provide, and I'm just going to trust God." On the other hand, there are those who say, "Well, I'm going to just look at natural means and what medicine can do, and I'm not even going to bring God into the equation." I would submit to you, and you're going to see why as we go through this, that our challenge when it comes to our health and our healing is to do what we can and trust God and ask God to do what He alone can. You know, for instance, I don't want to step on too many toes here today, but when I go to my doctor, she tells me that I need to eat twigs and seeds. That's my term for it. We have that conversation. She also tells me, you know, you need to lose a little weight. I never thought I'd ever hear anybody tell me that, but I'm at that point. Now, I have a choice. You know, the first time she read me the Riot Act, she told me all the nasty things that could happen if I didn't mend my ways. Now, here's a very simple thing. If I were to continue on as I was, taking in all the sugar and taking in all those other things, and I balloon and I grow and expand my ministry to 275 or 300 pounds, and then all of those things that she told me about start happening, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. You see, God gave you a brain. Oh, I got to be careful now. God gave you a brain. And as hard as it can be, He expects you to use it. And He expects you to take advantage of the things that you can. But I will tell you what. If I get sick, I'm going to do what the doctor tells me to do, and I'm going to go to Dr. Jesus, and I'm going to say, "Here's what I'm doing. I need you to do something in my life too." You do what you can, and you ask God to do what He alone can. And so, As we go through the scriptures, we're going to talk about miracles today. And in the Old Testament, miracle after miracle of healing. In the New Testament, there are over 30 different miracles where Jesus healed people. He healed them of sickness in their body. There were other times that he healed them emotionally or spiritually. But we're talking about sickness in the body. And it's implied that there are hundreds more. You know, Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He made the lame to walk. He caused the dead to raise. Even in the book of Acts, you know, I was reminded of this because I looked at the length of my Sunday morning message last week. And it's a story that takes place in the book of Acts. It's kind of a funny story because Paul is preaching, and the Bible just says he preached a very long time. I was reminded of that when I looked at how long I preached last Sunday morning. I'm not going to do that today. And as he was preaching, it was night, there were candles, it was hot, and there was a young man who was sitting in the window. I think he was sitting there, well, first of all, it's comfortable. Secondly, trying to get a little air. And he fell asleep, and he fell out of the window, and he died. And even in my longest sermon, I don't think, I may have put people to sleep, but I haven't killed anybody yet. And there's a lesson there. His name was Eutychus. He fell out of the window. He died. And the lesson is, if you're going to put people to sleep in high places, you better be able to raise them from the dead when they fall. And Paul went out and spoke a word, and he was healed. He was resurrected. And God did something in his life. I believe in a God who has power to heal. Sister LaToya already asked you to raise your hands if you believe God heals, and we believe that. But sometimes we have a problem applying that into our lives. Now, John chapter 14, I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning. John chapter 14 and verse number 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," again, not he that's a preacher, not he that's an apostle, not he that's an evangelist, "but he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." It doesn't mean so much greater in magnitude or size, but it means greater in number because of the limitation of time. So he said, those that believe on me will be able to see big things happen. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. And I believe that the same power that was in Christ to heal the sick when he walked on earth is the same power that is resident within believers today, resident within the church. That's why he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Sometimes we struggle to see those things happen. But I do believe that God heals, and he does it through the faithful prayers of his people. You know, we serve a God to whom all things are possible. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, in the King James, he said that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at it in the New Living. Here's what it says in the New Living. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Let me challenge you today. Have you believed God for any big dreams lately? Have you believed God? Have you asked God for any humongous kind of requests lately? Have you dared to ask God for the impossible? You say, "Well, that's impossible." But the Bible teaches us that all things are possible with God. Somebody said, "Well, what about if I pray and I don't get what I want?" Here's the simple truth. I know that I'm not going to get the answer to 100% of the prayers that I don't pray. I know when I don't pray, it's not going to happen. But I know that when I do pray, that it is amazing how things begin to happen that otherwise I wouldn't have expected. I want to ask you, how many of you have ever prayed that God would do a miracle of healing and as far as you know, it didn't happen? Come on, be honest. It's okay, I got my hand up. I've prayed for enough people, I can put two hands up. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what does that mean? You pray for somebody and they don't get healed immediately and you ask them to get healed? Well, first of all, when you pray for somebody to get healed, you can't heal anybody. I can't heal anybody. But when I pray for somebody to be healed, and I lay my hand on their head, or I pray for them without even touching them, what I am saying is, God, I cannot do this. But you can. Now, I am not in charge of God. Neither are you, by the way. You know, sometimes we think we're in charge of God. But God is God. There are some times that God chooses not to heal. And there are various reasons for that. Sometimes it's because we're going to learn something through what we're going through. Or somebody else is going to see something through what we're going through. The part that we really don't like to think about is that the Bible talks about how that there is even a sickness unto death. And the truth that we all try to avoid is that at some point we all, barring the rapture, we die. It got really, really quiet here just now. Not everybody that I prayed for has gotten healed. Sometimes when you really feel like and you believe that God can, He doesn't, it can unsettle you, it can shake you, it can rock you. And sometimes people conclude that God either isn't real or He's not good or He doesn't love. Sometimes you can't explain God. How do we reconcile that? How do we pray if we believe that He can, we know that He has, but He doesn't always do what we know He can do or could do or we think He should do? A key thought to remember is simply this. Our God heals, but He doesn't heal everyone all the time. Our God heals, but He doesn't heal everyone all the time. I think we all know that to be true because most of you raise your hand when I ask you if you've ever prayed for anybody and they weren't healed. And a lot of people don't realize that our experience is a biblical experience. For instance, let me give you some three quick examples. Number one is a guy named Trophimus. He was one of the Apostle Paul's friends. He traveled with Paul on his third missionary journey. But when Trophimus got sick, he's with the Apostle Paul. And apparently he did not get healed. Here's what Paul said. Verse 20 of 2 Timothy 4, Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. He said, I had to leave him behind. God could have healed him, but God chose not to. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that there are some times when God doesn't do what I want Him to do, that I discovered down the road why He didn't do it. Let me go on. Let me give you another example of Timothy. Timothy apparently had stomach issues. We don't find where he was healed of them. We do find where the Apostle Paul told him to drink medicinal wine because it would help his stomach. He said, this will help you. He wasn't telling him to drink for pleasure. He said, this will help you. It's medicinal. The Apostle Paul had something. You think if anybody was going to get healed, it would be Paul. He had something he called a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't tell us what it was. It just says that he prayed three times. And let's look at the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, he doesn't tell us what the thorn is. It's believed that it probably was bad eyesight. We don't know. Some commentators believe it was migraine headaches. Some commentators believe that he had a problem with his leg. There's all kinds of things. We don't know what it was. I think the Bible is intentional about that, because if we knew exactly what it was, we would say, when someone had that problem, we'd say, "That's a thorn in the flesh to you." But the thorn in the flesh is left intentionally vague to remind us that there are things that happen within our lives that God will use for his purpose that are not always comfortable and that are not always nice. But we do know that God works not only in my good things, but God works in all things. And notice what happens. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me," so the Apostle Paul doesn't just go to the Lord, you know, in his bedtime prayer and say, "Lord, remember I got a thorn in the flesh, and if you could take it away from me, that would be great." The implication that's in this verse is that he goes to almost like a travailing prayer. That he's not just, you know, 30 seconds and done. He's taking it to God and saying, "God, here it is. I'm your apostle. I'm doing all these great things, and I've got this thing." And notice what the Lord says. Paul said, I asked the Lord three times that it could depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." That's why I believe it was a physical problem. "I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God was saying, "I am doing something in the middle of all of this that is going on. You might not see the purpose, but I'm doing something in the middle of it, and my grace or my power is enough to bring you through it all." But there's some things we need to understand. Because sometimes even well-meaning Christians can say some hurtful things. You get sick, and somebody comes along and says, "Well, you know, if you repented of sin, there's got to be some sin in your life. That's why you're sick." You know, there was a guy that needed to be healed, and they asked Jesus, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" He said, "Neither." Sometimes you get sick. Most times you get sick. It's because you're a member of the human race. You're a member of the human race. If you get a cold, it probably wasn't the devil. It was a virus. Now, viruses may seem like the devil, but, you know, most likely it's a virus. These things happen as part of the human race. Or you're not praying right and you really want to turn around and say, "Okay, you take over right now, because I prayed every way I know how to pray." Or you're doing something wrong. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can heap guilt and condemnation on somebody who is going through something when God isn't doing what we know he can do. So what do we do? Sometimes God doesn't heal. We keep on praying. We keep on asking God. We keep on touching heaven. Because we know that God is in heaven. And we know that God has a purpose. But we know that when we pray, people can be healed. I want to challenge you. You may never stand behind a pulpit, but you can pray for somebody and see them be healed. You don't have to, you know, You don't have to be here in the church to pray for somebody to be healed. As a matter of fact, you don't have to shout and shake them. It can be a simple prayer that is offered in faith at normal conversational level. That says, Jesus, do something in this person's life. Bring healing into their life that they'll know that you are on the throne and that you're real. You say, does God respond to a prayer like that? He absolutely does. But what if he doesn't? I'm not the healer. God is. And the Bible says that you have not. Why? Because you ask not. If you don't ask, it's not going to happen. And so we continue to pray. So what do? We let our faith continue to grow as we see God heal. You know, there are three reasons Jesus didn't do miracles in his ministry. I'm going to touch on them really quickly. Number one, he didn't do miracles to prove himself. Ever had that kind of thing? Just do this one thing, prove you're real, and I'll serve you forever. Sometimes something happens. But the Pharisees came to question Jesus, and they wanted a sign. They wanted him to prove who he was. And in Mark chapter 8, Jesus just said, I tell you the truth, I'm not giving you this sign. It's not gonna happen just to prove who I am. The second thing, he didn't perform a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan. He didn't perform a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan. You know, I want you to think about this. When Jesus was in the garden and Judas came to betray Jesus with a kiss, and Peter, I don't know, you know, Peter was a fisherman. I don't know why he was carrying a sword. But the Bible says that when Judas came to kiss him and they were gathering around Jesus to take him, that Simon Peter grabs his sword, hauls it out, and he's going to be the mighty hero. You know, like we all picture we would do. You know, mighty hero. I don't even know the new superheroes they've got, but you're going to be the superhero of the moment. And he gets waving that sword around. He's going to protect Jesus. And he aims for a guy's head and he cuts off his ear. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us if the guy just moved out of the way quickly enough or Simon had really bad aim with the sword. I like to think he had really bad aim with the sword. His ear falls off. It's cut off. At least the sword was sharp. And, you know, the guy using it may not have been that sharp at sword play, but the sword was sharp. And so, everything, you can imagine, everything just kind of stops. And Jesus looks at him and said, Simon, put up the sword, Simon. Like, just put it away. Because you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And I think Jesus was thinking. Now, this is just me thinking what Jesus was thinking. I think Jesus was saying, Simon, if you don't put that sword away, you're going to hurt somebody, probably yourself. And then he said, where's the ear? Come on, get the ear. And I don't know, it was at night, so maybe they had to scrabble around a little bit to find it, and they get it, and Jesus puts it back on. He didn't even use sutures. He just puts it back on. The guy's healed. He walks away. That's a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. One minute he does a miracle. But then the servants of the high priest, the soldiers gather around him. They take him off, and he's going to be on trial. He's going for crucifixion. And Jesus himself tells us that he could have called the angels to come and deliver him from what was going on. But he chose not to. He chose not to because it would interfere with the plan. It would have had a temporary earthly benefit at the cost of an eternal godly benefit. The third thing, Jesus didn't do miracles where there was no faith. He went to his hometown and people weren't impressed. They said, it's the son of the carpenter. We know he grew up here. We don't get this. And in verse 5 of Mark chapter 6, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. One of the things that we struggle with in North America, and sometimes people ask me, well, Pastor, how can we hear about miracles happening around the world, and we sometimes struggle to see as many as we want to see happen here? And I think that sometimes it's because we are trained to be rational. We are trained to be able to explain things and to doubt what you can't explain. Now, we accept things by faith all the time. For instance, when I walked in here this morning and my iPad connected to the Wi-Fi, you know, I still can't really explain to you how things can, you know, how my sermon notes can come through the Wi-Fi from the cloud and magically appear on my iPad. I know it's technology. I know some of you can explain it, but I take it by faith. It's just going to work. I just really do. Now, I can't explain it, and I can't even feel the Wi-Fi in here. What's that? It's probably for the best, yes. I don't feel it. I don't even see it. But I have complete faith because I know that there's a router with Wi-Fi. I have complete faith that when I connect to it, that I'm going to be able to surf the internet. And I'm going to be able to do things. And if we can believe that, my dear brothers and sisters, we believe that there is a God in heaven who is here right now. I can't see him, and sometimes I can't feel him, but I've seen what he can do. I know his promises and his capabilities are enormous. And sometimes I need to put up my spiritual antenna and say, God, I will trust you. I will dare to ask you for what you alone are able to do. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not simply feeling like I'm powerful. Faith is simply saying, God, I believe you're there. I believe you got this. I believe you're big enough for it, and I'm trusting you. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. In faith. When you pray in faith, it touches the heart of God. I got to bring this to a close quickly, but let me just mention, there was a woman with an issue of blood. We don't even know her name. We just know she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was declared unclean. She couldn't participate in normal society. But she heard Jesus was coming. She didn't even feel like, if I can get Jesus to pray for me, I'll be healed. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Do you know the Old Testament said that Messiah would come with healing in his wings? Did you also know that the hem around his garment was called the wings? He comes. He's walking through. Everybody's jostling against him, but this little woman makes her way through the crowd. She touches the bottom of his garment. That means she's bent over. Touches the bottom of his garment, and all of a sudden, something happens internally within her life, and Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And his disciples say, well, all kinds of guys touched you, Lord. And Jesus said, but virtue or power has gone out from me. I know somebody touched me in faith right now. And that little woman said, Master, it was me. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith hath made you whole. Sometimes doing what I can means I'm going to press in as hard as I can to get to where I need to be in God. Sometimes it means I need to do the things that I know to do physically for healing. But faith means I'm asking God to do what he alone can. There was a man with leprosy who fell at the feet of Jesus. Nobody got healed of leprosy in those days. Nobody. He comes and falls at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, go and show yourself to the priest. Get diagnosed again. Let them prove that you are healed. And by the way, if you're really healed, when you go to the doctor, they're going to know you're healed. I got one, two amens on that one. If you are healed, it'll be verifiable. And he said, go, your faith has made you whole. There was a blind man who's basically screaming out for Jesus. He's basically screaming, Lord, I can't see you, but I know you're there. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. There was a Roman centurion with a sick servant. He came to Jesus and he said, Master, my servant is sick. And if you could just speak the word. Master, you don't even need to come. I'm a man under authority. I tell people where to go, what to do. If you'll just speak the word and tell sickness what to do, and this is what he was saying, tell sickness what to do, tell sickness to get out of my servant, that's good enough. You don't need to take the time to come to my house. I know you can heal him where you are. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this. He was amazed at his faith. And I close with this thought. God loves you enough to work with the faith that you have. God loves you enough to work with the faith that you have. There's a story of a man whose son was in agony. In this case, he was demonically possessed. He would throw himself into the fire. The disciples couldn't help him, but Jesus came along and the man said, Master, I need you to help my son. Something so painful when it's one of your kids. He said, I need you to help my son. Here's what's happening, and I need your help. Let's look at what happens, Matthew 9:22. He said, the Spirit often throws him into the fire, into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Verse 23, what do you mean, if I can? Let me just tell you something about faith. Faith doesn't come and say, God, if you can do it. Faith comes and says, God, I know you can do it. Now I'm asking you to do it. You see, sometimes we become specialists in praying, God, if you can meet my need. No, no. God can meet my need. He can. My prayer is not, God, if you can meet my need, please do it. My prayer is, God, I know you've got all the resources. Here's my need. Please move in it. Jesus said, what do you mean, if you can? If I can. And then notice this next part. Anything is possible if a person believes. We do what we can, and we ask God to do what He alone can. And the father instantly cried out, do you see yourself in this guy? Lord, I do believe. But help thou my unbelief. Lord, on one hand, I believe you can do this, but on the other hand, I got a little struggle going on. We've all been there. Seen it happen. Jesus came not only to forgive our sins, and that's the biggest thing he came to do. Would you stand with me so I will close? There's another story in the Bible about a man who was paralyzed and he was laying on a mat. And Jesus was teaching in a house. As he was teaching, there was a huge crowd. People couldn't get into the house. And so, four friends of this guy had brought him, they carried him on his mat. They got there and they looked at the crowd and they said, wow, we're never going to get in that way. So the Bible says, I don't know who had the idea, but they said, okay, let's go up on the roof. And there is no elevator in the house. They didn't have them back then, of course. But there is no elevator in the house, but we're going to make one. And so they got up on the roof. They began to tear away the material that was covering the roof, and it would be packed mud and wood, and they begin to tear it away, and they make a hole in the guy's roof. That's out of the ordinary. And then they got ropes or something, and they began to let him down. Now imagine Jesus is teaching. You're standing there, you're listening to Jesus teach, and all of a sudden, dirt starts coming off the roof, and you look up, and there's four guys looking, and then all of a sudden, there's this guy coming down on a mat. One of our first reactions would be, ushers, look after this. Jesus looked at the guy, and he said, son, your sins are forgiven. The greatest thing that Jesus came to do was to forgive you of your sins. You know what? If you're here today, that's the greatest need that we all have, is to be forgiven of our sins. And it's as easy and as simple as asking him. But then the Pharisees and all that were there in that crowd, they looked at him and said, hey, this isn't right. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus looked at them and said, that you might know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Hey, you want to know who I am? I'm going to show you. I have power to forgive sins, but I'm going to show you. Get up and walk. I want you to know I can forgive sins. I can heal a human body. And brothers and sisters, he still does the same thing today. We have people as part of this congregation that have been prayed for. And they have come, sometimes didn't even know what we were praying for. Just asked for prayer. Or one who came and said, I couldn't hear out of one ear, you prayed. I didn't know I was praying for an ear, I just knew I was praying for healing. Came back and said, you know what? I can hear as perfectly out of that ear as I ever could out of the other one. Our God heals today. Our God heals today. I know if we took time for testimony service right now, there are some of you that have testimonies of how God has healed you in the past. It's a reminder today that our God is a God who heals. I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, if you have a need in your body for healing. See, the Bible talks about laying on of hands, but it also talks about our prayer. Not just the prayer of the preacher, but your prayer. And I believe that as we pray right now, that God can bring healing into somebody's life. We're going to have a prayer time around the front. But I'm going to invite you, after we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite you, if you need prayer for healing, to come and stand here at the front. We're not going to make you tell us what your need of healing is. God knows what it is. And I'm believing today that God is going to heal somebody. I believe that. Does anybody else believe that God will do it? You believe that God will do it? We're going to do it because God does. And as we pray, I want you to ask God for whatever the need is of healing within your life. If you'd like to be anointed with oil, the Bible says in James chapter 5, if any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let him anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. We're going to believe God today. I know this is not the usual way that we end up our service with prayer for healing, but I've been feeling like God wants to touch somebody's life this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that as we come to you right now, we have faith that you are the healer, Lord, that your word establishes that. And Lord, we know that when we pray, you do heal. And so, Lord, I ask you and I invite you into lives here today. Lord, as we bring our need of healing to you, I pray that your touch will be felt. I pray that your power will be magnified and ministered. Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your spirit would minister healing today. Lord, and I ask you for it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, it may be that it seems like our own faith is like that little grain of a mustard seed. It's so small. But Lord, you said if we have that kind of faith that we can move mountains. And so, Lord, today I pray it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, you take the faith that we have. Lord, and would you use it today? Lord, would you respond to it today? Would you bring healing into lives today? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm going to ask Sister LaToya and Sister Brent to come down to the front right now and get ready because we're going to pray. And I want to invite you, if you have a need in your body, if you need a healing from the Lord, I want to invite you right now to make your way out of your seat and come and stand here. And if you'll be patient, we'll get to everybody. But if you have a need of healing in your body, you don't have to proclaim what it is. We just want you to come. God is here right now to bring healing in your life. And we're going to pray and believe God together. We know that God is able to do it. We're going to sing. If you are fine, you don't need prayer for healing, I want you to stretch out your hands. You can come and help us pray if you would like. If you have faith that God will heal. But I want you to come, and I want you just to believe right now. And as we sing, would you reach out to God and believe God for it? If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus, the first step is a prayer of repentance. The second step is to be water baptized in Jesus' name, and we invite you to do that. We've got lots of room. Just keep moving forward, please, if you can. Just keep moving forward. And we're going to anoint with oil. We're going to pray. If you believe that God can heal, I welcome you to come and find somebody to pray with this morning. God is here to do miracles of healing in lives right now.